This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Good morning, DFW. It's Sean and RJ, 105 The Fan.
It's newer music.
It is.
Right?
Yeah.
Have we had this
Alice in Chains?
It's not Alice. I don't think this is Alice in Chains.
Oh, okay.
It's good stuff, though. Sean and RJ, 105 The Fan. I'm RJ Choppy. He is Bobby Belt.
Got you down.
Peyton and Aiden alongside. Sean's back tomorrow on this President's Day, the first president to appear on national TV.
Richard Nixon.
FDR, 1939.
Damn it. I thought we were doing like on TV.
President's Day. He was the first to appear on national television.
Like broadcasting to the country. Okay. I was thinking more like a TV show because Richard Nixon was on Laughing. That was the first Who Wants to Be a Millionaire.
Was he really?
Yeah, that was the final question. When John Carpenter, not John Carpenter Freeway, but when John Carpenter won.
The director of Halloween?
Not that one either. Who Wants to Be a Millionaire? Their first $1 million winner who ran through the whole set without needing a lifeline. That was the $1 million question was, who was the U.S. president who appeared on Laughing? And the answer was Richard Nixon.
No kidding.
Yep. They weren't laughing for long.
That guy was a little arrogant.
He was, but it was a great bit. He uses the phone a friend to call his dad and go, hey, I don't really need your help. I just want to tell you I'm going to win
the
million. But
I don't need you.
That's
I don't
awesome.
Need you, Dad.
That
I don't
was
need
awesome.
You. That's a guy who hates his father.
We'll play some audio tomorrow. See how well your roast went.
Hey, look, I used his flowers for a good cause.
Can't believe you did that. Instacart John in Flower Mound says that needs to be G-Bag of the Year. You gifting Sarah funeral flowers for Valentine's. I can't believe you did that.
They got to go to use, man. I mean, what did I lug these things home for?
She would have appreciated the thriftiness, I guess. Like, hey, you saved some money. That's good.
Good. Very good. All right, so the NBA All-Star Weekend was this weekend in the Bay Area. And Adam Silver did his kind of state of the league as his, you know, I guess this time of year they all do it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but Roger Goodell did it at the Super Bowl week. Silver does it at the All-Star. Bettman does it. And I'm sure Rob Manfred does something like this week as it's the start of spring training or across the sport.
Yeah. Does Manfred, I get the feeling like most people in Major League Baseball don't want Manfred near a mic.
Probably not.
Because they're just like, dude, you start talking about golden at bats and stuff. Just shut up.
It's a good float. Float the idea.
It is.
It's a good float. Float the idea, right?
It would have been nice if some people around here would have floated some ideas and gotten some feedback.
There you go. That's, I could think of two. I could think of two ideas that would have been good with that one. But
let's talk about one of them.
Let's talk about one of them here, and that is the Luka trade. So Adam Silver talked about his initial reaction and his surprise at the trade.
I was surprised when I heard about the trade. I did not know that Luka was potentially a player that was about to be traded. That was news to me. I followed it like a fan from that standpoint. And I've said before, that's the kind of confidential information that's generally not shared with the league in advance, unless a team is publicly shopping a player. And as best to my knowledge, that's not what happened in the case of Dallas and Los Angeles. And in terms of anger at the fan base, I'm empathetic. I understand it. I mean, the Dallas was in the finals last year. And I've also said this before. I like Luka very much. I've known him since the day he came. I actually met him before he came into this league when he was at Real Madrid, when we were over there, you know, playing a preseason game. And I can, it seems genuinely, you know, truly authentic that he was stunned and disappointed. You could see it in his body language.
All right. So obviously you could tell, yes, in that body language, he was stunned and disappointed. We did talk about the, we had a body language expert that we played the audio from that was on Channel 8, and she detailed his complete and utter shock.
I think we all read the same thing.
I think we all, we didn't need an expert on this one.
Yeah, the kid, much more useful for the Jason Kidd body language.
Yes.
The Luka body language is like, yeah, that guy, his dog just died. Yep, that's what that looks like.
Yeah, it looked like he was just completely elsewhere mentally.
Yeah, and this is... I don't buy, by the way, what he says there. Just like, oh, we never have any idea of potential trades that are coming unless somebody's publicly shopping a player. It's like, dude, I don't believe that. People in the league office have an understanding of what could be coming down the pike. Maybe not routinely. I mean, especially this one. This one, nobody seemed to have any sort of sense that it was coming, because if the league office would have caught wind of it, I'm guessing all the other teams would have caught wind of it too. And nobody knew that he was available. And it's still an awful turn. I am seeing, I don't know about you, are you starting to see a turning of the tide a little bit? Or maybe a people willing to more loudly voice their opinions who are in favor of trading Luka? I'm seeing a lot more of that on social media. I've been going back and forth with some people on Twitter lately who are just, I made some joke about Nico Harrison yesterday. Somebody replied back to me and said, let's see your trophy case, GM Bobby. It's like, okay, so that's,
he doesn't have a trophy case either.
Like, Nico's got a Western Conference Finals trophy, so you're saying like we should trust him to drive this franchise off of a cliff? What? Or like we should trust Patrick Dumont and what he's done here, which is just basically blown into town and said, I don't give a damn about the city of Dallas or its residents or this fan base.
Yeah, there were a handful of people when the trade first happened said, look, they're going to be better regardless. They're a better team right now. Luka was either soft or didn't play defense or whatever. You were going to have that. The vast majority of fans, that may all be true. The return, nobody can argue though, the return they got was not what it needs to be. That's the fact. You can't argue. The return they got sucked.
Oh, and it wasn't just that. Where the league needs to, I would have hoped the league would have had a conversation, and they won't, because Adam Silver's spineless. He's the most spineless commissioner in professional sports to me. I don't think he has any real legitimate power.
Mm-hmm.
Because he's terrified of the players, he's terrified of the stars.
He's a players commissioner, there's no doubt about that. And which is like that for this league, that's what they want. Like,
somebody needs to communicate to the Mavericks how, I would hope somebody at the league office would have communicated to the Mavericks, like, you are hurting our bottom line now as a league when you're pissing off a fan base in a top five media market like this and having no sense of empathy for them going through it a little bit. That you can't do that. Like we've even drawn this comparison already. When the Cowboys hired Brian Schottenheimer, a lot of people were furious about that. Mm-hmm. And Jerry stepped up there and acknowledged it at the press conference the next day and basically went 15 minutes straight before even taking a question just to talk about, hey, I understand people are mad. I understand you're angry, blah, blah. Like, he didn't justify it, and you weren't happy with it after he answered it, but he at least acknowledged, like, I hear the fan base right now and I understand. All right. I understand you're upset and I empathize with that. This is why we thought it was the right move. That is not how Nico Harrison and Patrick Dumont have handled it. Nico Harrison and Patrick Dumont.
Nico didn't even go to the press conference.
No,
he was at the podium.
What they have opted for is defense wins championships.
That's right.
And you just don't know what you're talking about. You don't know how we need a hard worker like Shaquille O'Neal.
You saw it was evident, the fact that, you know, Nico did a presser with Kidd, and then when they introduced AD and Max Christie, he wasn't even there.
Oh, as somebody pointed out,
it wasn't at the podium with them.
It wasn't just a presser with Kidd. It was Kidd's daily media availability that Nico just crashed for the first 3 minutes and then bailed. He did not sit for any sort of official press conference about the trade.
Yeah, because you know he saw the reaction. It's the way it is. I mean, that angered a lot of fans. All right, here's more from Silver on the trade.
You know, having said all that, I also am sympathetic to the Mavericks organization. I mean, I've known Nico Harrison for a long time from his prior tenure at Nike, and I've gotten to be close to Patrick Dumont, our new governor in Dallas. I can say one thing for sure, whether or not history will ultimately judge this as a smart trade, they did what they thought was in the best interest of their organization. I have absolutely no knowledge or believe there were any ulterior motives. There's no doubt in my mind that the Dumont-Adelson families bought that team to keep it in Dallas. You know, I have no doubt whatsoever that they're committed to the long-term success of that franchise. And in terms of the Dallas fans, all I can say to them is, again, time will tell whether it's the smart trade, but I think they should believe in their organization. Their organization truly made a trade that they believed was in the best interest of the organization. And in many cases, again, doesn't mean they were right or wrong, but it's very difficult to put yourselves in their shoes. I mean, they are living with a situation. They have a philosophical belief on what's necessary ultimately to win championships. And I'm not in a position to second guess that.
All right. So one of the things that I still look, I understand the conspiracy theories. You have to have a conspiracy theory in everything that happens now. You can't not. Nobody believes anything anymore. But I just, the whole Luka, trade Luka to get the team out of here argument, by the time you're even allowed to move the team based on the lease and then the inevitable construction, like, you're not going to start construction before 2030.
Mm-hmm.
Luka's, by the time that thing is built, it's and that whole thing comes to reality, it's 2033. He's 35 years old.
He's
33. He's
Lucas?
Yeah.
No, Luca's 30 by that point. 31.
No. By the time the casino and everything is built.
Oh, but yeah, because their lease is up in what, 2030?
2030.
So he'd be 31 when that lease is
and
up.
Then you're not building something before the lease that you move there, you play in T-Mobile. Like, this thing is not even a reality until 2033. And at that point, Luca's, like, you know, 33 years old. Like, he's halfway to being out of the league.
Well, so here,
70% of the league.
Let me play the other side of that. And I don't think that's the move. I don't think they're trying.
That's a really long play.
But it's so hard to justify it. You have to start looking for things like that. You have to go, like, this is so stupid. What could the only explanation be? So here's the only thing I would say. If you trade Luka and you continue to anger the fan base, and then let's say maybe you've angered Kyrie Irving, and then Kyrie Irving bails, and you're talking about you have one first-round draft pick between now and 2030 when the lease is up. If you start losing people and you're building around AD and then he's getting hurt and you don't have draft picks, you could kill a fan base in the city over the next 5 years to where you could time it up to where when that lease is up, you could do it. I'm not saying that's not the play, but I'm saying if you were going to do that, if you wanted to make a play to kill this fan base by the time the lease is up, they are following those steps.
Yeah, they are. They would be following those steps. But, like, you could, if you wanted to move the team, you can move a team anytime you want.
I will never get over the fact that he let him talk him out of the extra first-round pick and Dalton Connect. He's like, Luka's not worth that, though.
It blows the mind.
Meanwhile, Genie Bus walks Luka Doncic through Lakers headquarters on a... Did you see that video the Lakers released?
No.
It was like a Luka's first day at Lakers headquarters. And Jeannie Buss is showing him everything. She's like, there's a lot of rich Lakers history here, and you're going to have your own wing of it. And she's just like, it's like, okay, the guy who you say is going to have his own wing of Lakers history, you managed to effectively sell the Mavs that, well, not Dalton Connect.
Yeah,
I can't give you a 2029 draft pick for him. Come on, no. That's ridiculous.
That's just lunacy. It's
not the 30th
pick. You wouldn't want
like,
that.
What are you going to even use that 30th pick on? Just some French basketball player that'll never start for you guys?
You wouldn't want that. You wouldn't want that anyway. No, that's the thing. You know, the Lakers don't care where they get their players from. Madison, we care. We don't want mercenary. We want to grow our own.
It's a different
mindset. Like, they want championships at all costs. And I'll just speak for myself. Like, yeah, they're great. I want to love the team that I'm rooting for too, though. Like, I want to grow with the team.
Spencer Dinwiddie talked about it. He's like, they went from dirt to Luka. Yeah. And they felt like, man, we had Dirk for 20 years. We're going to have Luka for 20 years. And how fortunate. We got the Green Bay Packers set up. We got that miracle of going from Brett Favre to Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, like the 23 Rangers title was awesome. The 2010 one would have been way more special.
Yeah. Even more than I loved the 11 team.
Or 11,
but,
too.
But even the 11 team was Napoli and Beltre and guys you acquired. That 2010 team was...
You almost went out and got, you all got, yours.
Yeah, you went and got Cliff Lee, basically.
Yeah.
Was it. But, yeah, just like 2011 when the Mavericks won the NBA Finals. I loved it. It's one of my favorite moments as a sports fan. It did suck a little that it couldn't be the 2016.
Right, the 2016 was more yours.
That was Josh Howard, Marquise Daniels, Dirk. It was a little bit more, this is ours. But just like the 92-93 Cowboys.
You don't apologize for it. You take the title when it's there, but, you know, there are some that... Like the 92 one would have, I assume, you know, it's so long ago, you forget because you were a kid. The 92 one was just more special than 95.
Yeah.
You didn't have, I mean,
Deion was Deion in 95. Yeah. Threw in, it was a different, so it was a different setup.
It changes things up a little bit. All right. Sean and RJ here on 105.3 The Phantom. RJ Choppy. He is Bobby Belt. Justin Tucker. It's over. Plus, your best and worst of the weekend. It's all coming up next on 105.3 The Phantom.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Ah, can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Good morning, it's Sean and RJ here, 105 through the Fan. Sean's out, back tomorrow. I'm RJ Choppy, Bobby Belt, Peyton, and Aiden alongside. It is President's Day. Roads are a little light this morning. Did you know the shortest president was James Madison, a whopping 5'4"?
Whoa, Sandler height.
Tiny.
Just little guy.
Man.
But I think that wasn't that like it was closer to average height back then.
What was he, the fourth president?
Yeah.
Madison?
So, okay, in the 1800s, the average height of men in Europe was around 5'5 to 5'7.
Okay, so he was born in Europe.
Yeah.
They all, the first like four or five were born in Europe.
So, yeah, look, average height, come on.
All right.
Don't slight the guy.
I'm going to slight.
God slighted him enough already.
I'm going to slight him.
Yeah.
I'm just going to slight him.
Slightly built man.
Slightly built man.
Yeah, that's what he is.
How tall is Shoddy? We do know?
Brian Schottenheim, I think, is...
Quarterback?
I guess he's
quarterback,
around...
Quarterback, college football, the SEC?
I've stood...
That'd be 6'2".
I've stood next to him. I think he's 6'1".
Okay.
Maybe 6'2". You were right.
6'2". Gotta be.
6'2".
Gotta be. He's your new coach?
Yes, he is. Maybe we'll get a chance to bump into him when we're in Indianapolis.
That's next week, right?
10 days from now.
Oh, baby.
I heard you got the...
I can't wait, man.
Yeah, you're going to love it, Peyton. You are going to just absolutely love it. No, I am genuinely going to love this. You got the reservation confirmed.
I got the reservation confirmation. Sean does not believe it's happening.
Nope.
And my thing is, like, it's a reservation. The reservation is what holds the table.
Yes, it is. But here's the thing that I don't think you, and you guys will get a sense of this when we're out there. Like, I asked Todd Archer will jump on with us one of those days that we're out there. And Archer was like, that's too early. He's like, I'm not getting on with you. He was kind of messing with me. But I was like, it's Eastern time. We're on till 11 o'clock over there.
That's going to throw me off.
And he said, but no, you're going to love it. 7 a.m. start time?
I'm going to love it. Yes, I'm going to love that, but it's going to throw me off. 11 o'clock, I mean, I'm on my third exercise by 11 o'clock. What am I going
to
do?
Imagine being able to walk out of the bar early morning hours, like 12:15, go to bed, and still get a good 6 hours sleep before the show.
Mm.
That's going to be glorious. But I was talking to Todd, and I said, we're going to be out there. I mean, it's till 11 o'clock because it's Eastern time. He goes, yeah, but Combine Indianapolis 11 is not normal 11 because you're usually out working the crowd all the night before. And so, but he did say, he's like, no, I'll jump out with you.
Good.
So he'll be out there. He'll be hanging out with us. But that's the thing is that 7:30, that's early in Indy. So that's what time we got our reservation there. 7:30 is like, well, teams are still in meetings. Mm-hmm. They're not going. A lot of these dinners for teams and stuff end up being like 9 o'clock, 9:30. They got to. They've got their interviews. They're running people through the ringer. All right, speaking of Todd Archer had an article up at ESPN this weekend, what Schottenheimer hire means for Prescott and the Cowboys offense. And this is how it starts off. It says, it's about an hour before Brian Schottenheimer is introduced as the 10th head coach in the history of the Dallas Cowboys. Through the atrium windows at the Star, Dak Prescott is seen rehabbing from the surgery he had to repair a right hamstring avulsion suffered in Week 9 loss to the Atlanta Falcons. He's wearing a gray hoodie and gray sweatpants with director of rehabilitation Britt Brown holding the cords. Prescott goes through a series of exercises up and down the field to rebuild the strength in his right leg. Soon, Prescott will sit behind the media as Schottenheimer, Jerry Jones, and Stephen Jones answer questions for more than an hour, listening intently to a coach he has grown to like over the past 3 years and who could be the last coach he has as Cowboys quarterback. And that was the big line here that I wanted to focus on, because I think that's been an under-discussed part of the Brian Schottenheimer hire. Is that I think not just could be, I think likely this is the last Cowboys head coach that Dak Prescott plays for. Todd Archer brings up the point, Dak is signed through 2028, so is Brian Schottenheimer. We know that they generally don't like to fire anybody. They'd rather the contract just run out because they don't want to pay out and have somebody do nothing for them. So if that's the case, I think you are looking at they are going to rise or fall together. And I think so much of this was a Dak Prescott hire. I think Dak drove a lot of this. A lot of their decision or faith in Brian Schottenheimer came from testimony from Dak Prescott and what he thinks he can be. And so I think that it's likely if Brian Schottenheimer gets fired, that's going to be the end of Dak Prescott too.
But that's Schottenheimer's not getting fired before the contract is over, right?
Wouldn't guess so. But I mean,
that's 4 years
possible.
Regardless.
Yep.
And Dak at that point is what,
34, 35.
That's the end anyway. So you're right.
I mean,
for the most part, like he's kind of breaking down.
Yeah, I mean, if he's still,
he'd be a strict pocket passer at that point.
Yes,
even more so than he is now.
Yeah, he already is. I think that if they have success, if Brian Schottenheimer gets a second contract, Dak Prescott's still going to be here.
Yeah,
that means Dak was healthy. They had success, and it was enough to warrant an extension.
Yeah, there's very little chance Shotty gets a second deal if the thing doesn't work. If he does.
He is exclusively tied, I think, to Dak Prescott.
Does he have to do more than McCarthy to get another contract?
No. I don't think so. I think he has to show that.
Do we have any idea on his salary?
I don't. No. That's not out. And so here
are the rumors?
Rumors are always, you know, you see reports out there of people who, like, it's not confirmed, but you'll see people out there who talk about it being in, like, the $8 million range. But that's not confirmed. That's not out there. That's still
a year?
That's still on the lower end of most head coaches in the NFL.
Wasn't that more than Mike?
No, Mike was at 8.
Was it right at 8? Mm-hmm.
Mike was at 8. So, I mean, I would imagine he's probably around what Mike got. Probably because it's just they didn't want to spend more on it, I wouldn't think.
Okay, so why would he get an extension if he doesn't at least eclipse what Mike did?
Because I think we're talking about if he shows, like we mentioned, at the end of this deal, when the time this deal is running out, Dak Prescott's time may be running out. Some people would argue it's running out now. But if you feel like that he ushered in a new era or that he helped stabilize things with Dak and he helped stabilize things with this core, by that time, you're going to be looking to usher in a new era, right? You're going to be looking to kind of look for your next franchise quarterback, all those sort of things. If you look at what he did in the waning years of this core and go, I like it, let's give him something to build. We like what he did here, the way he kind of pivoted this core and had success. Maybe didn't have, because to me, there's a decent argument to say, if Mike McCarthy's here for the next 4 years, for instance, if they would have re-signed him,
yeah,
I don't think over the next 4 years they get back to where they were at their peak with McCarthy.
Probably not.
I don't think they're that good again. If Schottenheimer gets them close to that, then you've already outperformed what they projected out for McCarthy. And so if they're then going to build a new core, they may say, all right, we trust Schottenheimer to build this and turn this into a positive culture and a winning football team. And so to me, I think they're tied together. I think more than, you know how the argument kept being made when they were evaluating McCarthy, they would say, all right, well, Dak had his greatest year there with shot or had his greatest year here with McCarthy. So why wouldn't you want to keep him around and keep that going and yada, yada, yada? I don't think that it was exclusively tied to Dak, like at all. I don't think they were evaluating the head coaching high. I don't think they were evaluating McCarthy as a coach based on what he did with Dak. I think they were evaluating it based on what is this culture. That was a big part of the line that Schottenheimer used, culture, culture, culture.
Mm-hmm.
I think how Schottenheimer holds Dak's hand into these later years of his career, he is absolutely going to be judged more off of Dak's play than McCarthy was, I think. Especially because Dak made such a, I think, you know, pound the fist on the table type of endorsement for him. That it's like, all right, well, you two are tied to each other.
So if Dak doesn't play well, but the team performs well, that might not look as good on him.
Yeah, it might be something that dings him a little bit more. But I also think that if they're like, he stabilized things, he got more out of Dak in the final years than we thought McCarthy could have, then that could be enough to get him another contract even after Dak's gone. That's how I look at it.
Okay, interesting.
Do you think this is the last?
I think they're tied together.
This is the last head coach Dak plays for here?
With this team, yeah.
You think so?
Yeah, I don't see them giving him another contract anyway. He'll be 35. I don't see them giving. They will draft his replacement in the next two drafts. Not counting this one.
Are they going to be picking high enough?
No, again, not this one.
Are they going to be? Do you anticipate they're going to be worse than they were this year?
No, not necessarily. I think they'll be in the mid teens. Or the 20. Maybe they'll make the playoffs over the next 3 years. The nature of the NFL says they're going to. So they're going to make the playoffs in the next 3 years. I don't see. Now, they're not going to draft a guy in the first round. They don't do that. They have shown you they're not going to do that. They need to. We detailed this. I mean, how many quarterbacks in this postseason were not first-round draft picks?
Yeah, I will say, I'm trying to look here. And
but it was Hurts and Russ, right? That's it.
This is skewed a little bit, obviously. But let's see here. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Out of the last 9 Super Bowls, and again, I say it's skewed a little, and you're going to know why when I ask this question.
It's skewed because of Tom.
But out of the last 9 Super Bowls, how many have had a game where the starting quarterback was not a first-round pick? One of the starting quarterbacks wasn't.
I mean, every one, I bet. Because
except it was one. It was Rams-Bengals had Stafford and Burrow.
Yeah.
But that was it.
But, again, Brady skews everything.
Brady skews a lot of that. But it does show, I mean, even without Brady, Jalen Hurts just won one, went back, won one. He was a second-round pick. He was considered probably similar to, I mean, roughly similar to what Jalen Milroe's considered right now. When he was coming out, that was the kind of prospect he was.
Yeah.
Last year, I mean, Brock Purdy was in the game. That was the last pick of the draft. So, I mean, obviously, yeah, Brady skews him. Jimmy Garoppolo took him to a Super Bowl as a second round pick, or was present for a Super Bowl as a second round pick. Nick Foles won a Super Bowl, took him to the Super Bowl. So, yeah. I mean, we do have a history of it happening.
That the Eagles got to where they were because of the number 2 overall pick. That they had a great year. And, you know, he played, what, 13 weeks or whatever that year Wentz did?
Yeah.
You know, so... I mean, they were in a position to be in the playoffs because of.
But they were also ravaged by injuries at that point.
Yeah, they were.
But I mean, even still, you look at Russell Wilson, won a Super Bowl, went back as a third round pick. Like, I do think it's changing a little bit. I still think.
Yeah, look, I mean, at the end of the day, you still had, of the 14 teams in the playoffs this year, only 2 were quarterbacked by a non-first rounder.
Yeah, you're right. No, you're right. And if you go back.
And a majority of those, like half of those, were the top 10.
And if you go back and look over history, yeah, a lot of it is still Peyton Manning, Aaron Rodgers. Eli Manning,
Ben.
Patrick Mahomes, Ben. Like, those are still first-round quarterbacks. And in a lot of instances, top 10 quarterbacks. But I do think it's not as... It used to be a slam dunk. Pardon the metaphor. Used to be a slam dunk that... I think it was over the course of 40 years. There wasn't a single MVP in the NBA picked past the 15th pick in the draft. It was absurd. Like, every MVP was a lottery pick in the NBA. And so it's not quite to that level. It has shifted a little, but it's something where they're going to at least have to evaluate that position. I bet you they start looking at the future. You're probably right. Probably about 2-3 years from now, they're probably looking ahead and going, where's the replacement?
Give him a year to sit. And
Even if they think he's good right then, just getting ahead of things and trying to stabilize.
Sean and RJ here, 105 through the Fan. It is time for Justin Tucker. To lawyer up, man. It might be over for him. The Baltimore Banner broke this story. Remember, it got kind of buried because of Super Bowl week. But that was the original story, which had which had a series of massage therapists accusing him of completely inappropriate behavior during massage therapy sessions. 2 reported massage parlors said they've banned him. Massage therapist said they walked out on him. Well, now 7 more have emerged. The total is now 16. The initial story had 6. Then it went to almost double figures, and now 7 more have brought it to 16. He denied them all. The 7 new accusers worked for businesses, including the spa at the Four Seasons in Baltimore, and the Baltimore spa and salon at the Ritz-Carlton, which has since closed and been replaced. He had a post on Twitter on January 30th. He flatly denied it. 2 spots, like I said, have banned him. The NFL is looking into it. And maybe he can, you know, shortcut any investigation by just coming away and confidentiality agreements, reaching settlements. But when you have a number of 16, that's going to be a little bit tough to do. The Ravens, from a cap standpoint, are going to delay this for as long as they possibly can.
Yeah, and I mean, this has got to explain why he just fell off a cliff this year.
You think he knew about this?
I mean, I'm guessing the Baltimore Banner didn't just get this and turn it out in a day. Like, I'm guessing this has been an investigation that they've taken part in over the course of a few months. And he probably got wind of...
Was he declining last year, too?
He wasn't at the top of his game. But, I mean, we're talking about this year. He met his lowest career field goal percentage in his career was 82.5 in his fourth season. This year, he was 73%. He was 10 percentage points off where he had been. He missed 10 kicks this year between extra points and field goals. And, I mean, we're talking about stuff that he normally had just been money on. He was missing. And so, man, I don't know. I mean, he had never missed more than two kicks from the 40 to 49 range. He missed three this year, along with two extra points.
Yeah, he was automatic. Was he like the Brandon Aubrey leg? Like, he had a good leg.
He had a booming leg. He was accurate. He was strong leg. I mean, he went 10 for 10 from 50 in 2016.
Oof.
Like, I mean, he was great, but this does feel very much like he must have known it was coming. No sympathy. It sounds like he's terrible, but it makes me wonder, all right, was that what that was? Because we saw how much it affected Deshaun Watson.
Again, it did. It still is.
Of his own doing, but we saw how much that then changed.
He's hated. I mean, Deshaun's hated. Yeah. The team is. And Tucker's going to be hated, too. Like, you know, and the Ravens they have put themselves in a spot where they have to act because, you know, Harbaugh said a couple of weeks ago that they had, actually it was more than a couple of weeks, they were talking about some incident that happened, and they played this audio clip. I saw it a couple of weeks ago. It was from a couple of years ago, where they said they have a zero tolerance policy when it comes to, for lack of a better term, crimes against women.
And took them a little while with Ray Rice, but yeah.
It did, yeah. But that's why they have that zero tolerance policy. Well, I mean, if you have a zero tolerance policy, like, Justin Tucker can't be on your football team. Again, you've got to let the process plays out.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
legally. Yep.
Houston didn't go and cut Deshaun immediately. Nope. They put him on like a restricted list. They sat him for a year. But I thought they did the right thing. Like, let the process play out.
This is ESPN said it is now up to 16 therapists from 8 spas. So that's pretty.
It's not one place. It's not one person. I mean, you're talking about more than a dozen women.
Boy, thank God we've got guys here who represent the NFC North. And now that we talk about it, we got the Packers and Bears. That AFC North, something about them. Justin Tucker, Deshaun Watson, Ben Roethlisberger.
I mean, Cincinnati had their issues.
Yeah.
For a long time.
Yeah. They're like, we're not looking so bad just pulling guns on people over here anymore.
Yeah, right. So, I mean, look, you got a number that's approach of 20. This is so the league has no subpoena power here. The Ravens can cut them. There's cap ramifications. What do they do? Like, that's the next question that they're going to figure out is what do they wind up doing with Justin Tucker, because you as of right now, the league, if they played a game tomorrow, would he suit up?
Yes, I think he would for now. Because I think the Ravens would say, well, we got to let it play out. It's not like
you don't think they would do and just put him on like a restricted list and say, you know what, we're just going to.
He's kicking. He's going to go out there. Like, I mean, it's a play at a time every 15 minutes. Like to me, I think they could very easily just say, well, it's a single play.
All right, would
position
the league let him? Because I don't know that Houston had any say in Deshaun. I think the league was like, no, just sit him down. You could pay him, right? You still pay him,
yeah.
Because that's at the end of the day, like you. I mean, if you were to just move on from if the league were to say cut him, I mean, you open up yourself for a lawsuit, which the league doesn't care about. I mean, they got sued by Kaepernick. They clearly blackballed him.
I wonder if the new CBA will start. Whenever they get to the next CBA negotiations, I wonder if there will be any sort of a fight for, look, we got to have basic rules in place about, you know, these sort of things happening and being able to just void the contract. Because now we're stuck with a Deshaun Watson who's broken. And now, I mean, they traded for him when they knew all this was out there, but basically. But
there's been new stuff since.
Yeah, I wonder if there's a way, like, I wonder if the league would start or if owners are going to start pushing for it. Hey, we got to have a way out of these deals, like, that aren't going to hurt the cap.
Yeah, now, like, fortunately for the Ravens, Tucker's a kicker, like you said. You know, it's not the same as a quarterback who's playing 60 plays a game. Nobody has to like the kicker. They don't care. Players got to like the quarterback. Yep. But you still can't have a kicker out there that's a predator.
Yeah.
If that's, you know what I mean? Like, you got let it play out, whatever, but put him on the restricted list. Don't let him see the light of day on a field until this thing is resolved. All right, it's Sean and RJ here on 105.3 The Fan. It is time for The Weeknd.
Ladies and gentlemen, The Weeknd.
I'm having a bad f***ing weekend.
Robert?
All right, so I got a couple different items here. First off, it was great going out to Hurtado Barbecue on Saturday for the launch of their new Dallas location. Brian Broaddus, Zach Wolchuk, Eric Chiafalo, they were out there recording a Love of the Star podcast. Mm-hmm. I showed up with Fire Wolchuk and Eric shirts.
Oh, yeah.
I was just sporting it. They made me take it off. They made me take off the shirt I had with Zach wearing a clown nose. They're like, nope, we won't have that. They went full Nico Harrison. But other than that, it was great. Here's the thing. That may be the burger that I ate there that they've got on the menu called the Big Mike is probably the best burger I've ever eaten.
Oh, they got a burger named at a McCarthy?
You know it has to be good for me to ever praise something called the Big Mike. That should tell you. It is. I went up to Brandon Hurtado. I told him, this is literally the best burger I've ever had. And DJ Pridemore was up there, our engineer, and DJ was like, said the same thing. He was like, this is the best I've ever had. Eric ordered it then and housed that thing. It's a double smash burger patty. He housed that thing in probably 90 seconds.
So is it just ground beef or what's in it?
No, it's brisket trimmings that he then grinds down and turns into a patty, and it's so good, dude.
So wait, it's ground beef and brisket trimmings or just brisket trimmings?
No, ground beef and brisket trimmings.
Oh, yeah.
Dude, it's so good. But it was fantastic. The weekend started, I was at a racetrack on Friday in Allen, and as I was walking in, somebody went up and went, Bobby, Tolo, can I get a picture? And I was like, yeah. And so I went over there to get a picture.
What were you doing in Allen?
I was visiting Tolo Steve, my buddy. We went and had lunch. But I was over there, and he comes up to me. He said, I'd recognize that neck beard anywhere.
Oh, yeah.
So I like that I'm being recognized for that.
Is that a compliment?
No.
Or did you take it as one?
No, I didn't.
Oh, okay.
But I mean, look, everybody's got to have their draw, something that catches the attention. All right, so here's potentially the best or worst of the weekend that I want you to vote on, RJ. And you too, Peyton. I know what Peyton's already going to say. I need you to tell me if my wife is frugal and helping to protect our finances, or if she is desperately cheap. I decided to take the kids by half price books on the way home. I brought a couple of the books in here we bought. I got the Bill James Historical Baseball Abstract,
dude,
which is awesome.
This is amazing. Bobby got this, the Bill James Bible. This thing is, what was that? This is over 1,000 pages. Oh, no, wow.
Dude, it's
723 pages. It's a
dense,
thick book. This is a thick book, but it's girthy.
Yeah,
but, I got this is, I could...
I'm just going to leave it in here as a reference, so it's going to stay in the studio. I've got the 1999 NFL record book. I bought this, the Dallas Cowboys Wives Cookbook and Family Photo Album. We had this in my house in the 90s, this exact book, and so I found it. Part of nostalgia, I bought it, but somebody brought up the point. If that was from 1996, that book, I need to make and eat every recipe from the book in order to break the curse. Like, that might be the key, but I think we're going to try some of these recipes here throughout the offseason. But here's the thing. Took the kids by half price books on the way home. They love the store. As we're walking in, I notice Kristen isn't behind me. So I stop at the door. I'm like, where'd she go? So I stop. I wait. She finally catches up to me and the kids. And I ask her, what were you doing? And she informed me, as I saw her folding pieces of paper, I was like, what the hell is that? She informed me she was grabbing coupons. How cheap is this woman that a half off bookstore is not enough? She needs to also then throw a 10% off coupon on top of any purchase made in the half price bookstore. Let these people eat. Let the stock boy stay open. You're taking your extra $2 from the 15 books for $20 that you buy. How many more savings do you need that you're going in there to use a coupon at half price books? So are you saying, is that frugal or is that just, come on, that's cheap. Just pay the extra $6.
No, I think that's smart.
It's smart. I knew you guys would love this. I knew you two would love this. At half price books, you're already saving, chop.
They're obviously, first of all, how does this place make money? How many people were in there? I've never seen one.
It's a busy area. It's in a shop, and so it's.
I've never been in. I haven't read a book in 25 years.
Dude, I think you'd like half price books. It's cool to just walk in. They got everything. They got old vinyls. They got DVDs. They've got all sorts of stuff in there. It's awesome.
I'm sure I would love it. But like, how do they make their money?
I don't know. I used to.
Like, obviously, it's on resale. But like, when somebody sold half price books, this Bill James Bible, and they sold it for $7.99 to you, how much did they buy this for? A dollar?
This was $3.
So did they buy that for 50 cents?
No,
are they not donated or something? Did they not just give them the
donated?
The
maybe some get donated, but they will buy. You can go in there with a stack of books and sell them.
God, I wish I had any books.
And it, well, so here's the thing. You walk in there with an entire library, basically, and they're like, we can give you 10 bucks. And that's the thing, is that the margins are so huge. They may have paid 20 cents for that book, potentially. Yeah. And so it's like anything's profit, basically, when it gets purchased.
Yeah, use your coupons, man. Is it coupon or coupon?
I say coupon.
Peyton?
I say coupon.
It doesn't look like Q. It's C-O-U-P. So I say
coupon.
Yeah,
it's the English language, coupons. Bobby.
Coupons. Yeah, so.
I say coupons.
Yeah, that's what I say.
But I never think about it.
Either way, I just was like, come on, we can just buy it. No, she's like, no. She's like, they gave them to me at the store. She's like, they want us to use them. So use them. So I was like, okay, fine. So we used it. Ended up being $7 off because I spent nearly $70 at the store buying a bunch of different books and movies and stuff like that for the kids. I used to be able to take, if you would take brand new books there, like, I'll tell you this off the air. I used to be able to make a killing at Half Price Books.
Oh, really?
And I'll tell you about it during the break. Chop, you wanna finish this up after that? You want us to go to Peyton and then you finish up, or do you want to go ahead and talk about your weekend?
I'll talk real quick about it. A lot of things happened. I watched my son play his first high school baseball game. Two of them, one on Friday, one on Saturday. Now, I missed his first game. We were in Super Bowl. We were in New Orleans for that, but I got to see him play. I had to go out to Aledo on Friday. He pitched on Friday. They won, and then he played. He caught on Saturday. I think they won. They didn't have the scoreboard up. They didn't have the scoreboard up. I'm pretty sure they did. In fact, I know they did. So that was good. It was awesome. Like I'm happy to see him play ball again. He hadn't had a game in several months, just because they didn't do fall ball.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't do fall ball. So his high school does not do fall ball. They practice. They don't play any games. So. It's different now that you get to the high school. It was awesome to see him play. Julian had a basketball game over the weekend. But, of course, it was also the funeral of Big Ralph.
Yes.
And my uncle came into town, so it's his brother-in-law. He was married to my dad's sister. She passed. So him and his new wife came down. He's like my favorite uncle. He's like my only uncle too, but he's also my favorite.
Was he the one that was at the very back that you hugged on the way
out?
Because I noticed every single person in your family stopped to hug him.
Yeah, that was him. That was him.
I was like, who is that? He looks like he's the godfather here or something. That everybody's got to pay their respects.
He's going to be late to his own funeral. And he was late to this one. It's just the way it is. We left dinner on Saturday and we were waiting for him to say goodbye. And he was inside. Just walking around. He was walking around the restaurant looking for the manager to say that the server was good.
Oh, and that's nice of him.
He does, but it took him forever. Like he never got out of there. But it was, the funeral was, I thought it was really nice. And we'll play the speech or part of the speech tomorrow.
Yep.
We're
going to play the whole thing.
Oh, the whole thing. Okay.
Cause I'll be honest. Just as a little teaser preview, RJ did crush it. He won over the crowd. There was only one audible groan for the entire delivery of the speech. I think you know which one it was. It was your very closing line.
My closing line.
Your closing line got some, and I was like, oh, okay. All right. All right. That's one. Otherwise, I thought there were some, you'll hear me on the audio recording. I'm audibly chuckling at a couple of those.
Oh,
good. They made me laugh.
Did
specifically you talking about getting spanked.
Did the audio pick up my curse word?
Oh my gosh, did you cuss?
Yeah.
Where?
When I started getting choked up a little bit.
Oh no, it did not pick up because you turned your head away from the mic.
Okay, because I said GD.
Oh my gosh.
In a church. It was just a reaction.
Oh no.
It was just a reaction. I was like, I started to get choked. And I went,
I'll be honest, I did not know how the lady golfers line was going to go over.
I didn't either. There was a lot of women there.
Exactly.
There was a lot of women in that thing.
But you know what? We will play one clip really quickly because I heard your sister spoke before you, and you had mentioned that your sister was...
So my younger sister didn't speak, and I was like, why didn't you want to speak? And she goes, I just didn't want to. I was like, oh, fair enough. Good enough for me.
Your older sister is the one that you said was like...
Super serious. Super serious.
You better not turn this into a joke. You better not turn. She was intimidating you, and I was like, oh, that must be the sister, because when I heard her delivering her part, which she gave a very nice, emotional, great tribute as well. Everybody who spoke, your sister, your mom, everybody was great. And I think anybody who didn't know your dad who showed up there got a real sense of who he was and got to know him. So I thought it was great. But your sister had kind of previewed your speech, and I was like, oh yeah, that was a threat there from Choppy's sister.
Of his three kids, his two oldest knew how to test the waters. Some of us knew when to stop, and some of us didn't. I'll let you figure that out. He might be next.
Some of us knew when to stop. Some of us didn't. I'll let you figure that out. He might be next.
He might be next.
I was like, oh, that feels very threatening from your sister of like, bro, you better tone it back.
Yeah, it was, I was nervous as hell. When she was speaking, I was panicking.
You did find the black suit, though, it looked like.
I did, yeah.
Where was it?
Sarah found it.
Oh, okay, so it wasn't at the dry cleaners?
No. She found it. I had seen that one. I was like, oh, that's not the right suit. Turns out it was the right suit.
And you had the cowboy hat on?
Had the cowboy hat on, which I knew my dad would have hated.
Yes.
And that's kind of one of where we're...
It was a fantastic speech. I thought you did good.
Thank you.
And we'll play it tomorrow. But I thought your mom, your sister, I thought everybody did a great job of representing him. And dear God, when they played that slideshow and I saw young Ralph,
yeah,
you guys all look the same.
Oh, we do.
My gosh,
strong gene.
He looks like Luca.
Yeah,
and you gene. Look like Luca when yeah. you're a kid. It's impressive.
No DNA test needed. No. Peyton Russell, best and worst.
Guys, I achieved a milestone this weekend. I paid off the Camaro. The great bank feeling. Does not own anymore. I own it.
Great feeling.
Oh man,
don't lose that title, please. I lost mine. I had to get it in a copy.
I paid mine off, and then 2 months later the car died.
Two months
after the last payment.
I mean, I'm hoping I can drive this thing into the ground. It's got about 115,000 miles on it. I think I can get a few more years out of it. So but yeah, just not having to spend $400 a month extra in my pocket is gonna feel great over the years.
That's
so
awesome.
It's the first car I'd ever bought from a dealership. First car I've had to pay off, so it's a good feeling.
$400 a month for over, you got it 5 years ago. Did you have to refinance at any point, or was that what you were paying the whole time?
I mean, it was technically 370 something. I just rounded to 400, but yeah, I bought it right before COVID, right before the car prices jumped. I got it. So I got a great deal on it.
Because
I have friends now who are paying like $700-$800 a month. I'm like, there's no way I would be able to do that.
Yeah.
That's awful.
What we pay in car payments every month makes me sick.
Is yours paid off or just?
No, we paid. Like I said, we paid off the first car, and then it died like a month later. So then I bought a new car, and then our van, our Toyota Sienna that she drives the kids around, and that one died, and so we had to buy another car. And so I've bought those both in the last couple of years. Those are not anywhere close to paid off. The Explorer. Goodness, you know what that car payment is every month?
You've told me
$925.
Yeah, you've told me. That's crazy.
I need to get it refinanced.
You do.
The rate was high.
Yeah, the rate's super high. It I mean, like Sarah's is paid off, but she's gonna need a new one here sooner or later. But hers has been paid off within the last year.
I remember being sick when I had to pay $370 a month for a car.
Oh, I know. I think my first car payment was like $185 a month.
Oh gosh, so that was a good deal you got there, Peyton.
Yeah, that's a really good deal. Congratulations, Peyton Russell. Best and worst of the weekend here on Sean and RJ on 105.3 The Fan. Is our ticket giveaway in the 8 o'clock or the 9 o'clock hour? The 9 o'clock hour, right?
It's in the 9 o'clock hour, but they will. It's for a mystery.
Oh, that's right.
It's for a mystery show that hasn't even been announced
that's
yet.
Right.
It will be announced by the time we're giving out
yes,
tickets.
Yes, it will. But. Okay. All right, coming up next here on Sean and RJ. Turns out North Carolina would have just given the Cowboys Bill Belichick, maybe without even asking for a buyout. We'll tell you how and why next on 105.3 The Fan.
Do you know about the true crimes that inspired a Bruce Springsteen album? Or the murders AC/DC was blamed for? How about Taylor Swift's violent stalkers? Or the suspicious deaths of Brittany Murphy and River Phoenix? These stories and more are told in the Disgraceland podcast, hosted by me, Jake Brennan, every Tuesday, where I dive deep into subjects from the dark side of music history and entertainment. So follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.